Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. Now here's a message from our senior pastor, Brian Bond.
All right, how's everybody doing today? I see, holiday weekend, all the people who really love Jesus came to church. So good. Y'all made the cut. Congratulations. we're glad you're here. And, it's raining. We needed some rain, didn't we? Maybe it will wash away some of the pollen and other crud that's messing up my allergies. All right. We're starting a new series today called The Wise, the Foolish, and the Evil. And we're going to look at three facets of that. Number one is what determines what a wise action is, a foolish action, and an evil action. And hopefully give you some ability through the Word of God to see what the difference between those are. Then next week, we're going to look at where do we fall? Am I a wise person, a foolish person, or an evil person? And you're like, don't get all judgy. The Bible said don't judge. But the Bible also tells us to avoid evil people, and how are you going to avoid them if you don't know who they are or what they look like? So we're going to talk about that next week. We are still kind of, we're rejoicing in what God did last week. We had 71 people that were baptized. We're excited about that. Amen. If you've been all week thinking, man, I should have done that last week, you can be baptized today, whether you brought anything or not. We are going to have a baptism later on, and and if you'd like to do that, we have clothes for you and everything else that you need to be baptized, so, you can be thinking about that as well. We're going to start out in Psalm 111, verse 10, and we're going to kind of look at the definitions. First thing I want to say is, listen, we're all going to hit actions at some point, even as believers, that fall in all three of these. We all hopefully do wise things. We all sometimes do foolish things. And we all sometimes do evil things. We're going to look at what the difference in those things, three things are, and then how to stop and how to change, and also some of the consequences of those. But we're going to start with the wise in Psalm 111, verse 10. If you'd please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, here's the key thing about wisdom. We think, you got to be old and, you get wisdom as you grow older. You get wisdom from making bad decisions. You get wisdom. Absolutely untrue. If that's true, then the people who'd made the most bad decisions would be the wisest people. Is that how you go to? Dude, you've messed up over and over again in your life. So could you tell me, give me your wisdom, bro? That's not what you do. Wisdom is not a function of age. It's not a function of making bad decisions. Wisdom is simply, the foundation of it is choosing to trust God first in your decisions. Because wisdom is not even necessarily having everything figured out. It's not, I know why this is or why that is or why that is. Wisdom is simply choosing to trust and believe what God has told you, no matter what you think, no matter what your logic tells you, no matter what you see. And over time, you begin to see God's ways work. One of the greatest examples of that to me is in tithing. The Bible tells us to return 10% what we make to the storehouse of God. And so I've been doing that for a long time. I do more than that now, more than 10%, but I started out doing 10%. And here's the deal. It don't add up. There's times if you sit down and go, okay, here's what we got coming up this month. Here's what we got coming in this month. Those two things do not match up. So the logical thing would be to say, hey, take all that money and try to make it work. But guess what? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work out. Well, you think, I got, here's 10% more or however percent. Well, then it'll work out. Let me tell you what works. It's giving that 10% to God first. That's submitting your finances under his protection, under his authority. And you know what the Bible says? It says you do this, and not only does he say he'll rain down blessings on you, he says, I will rebuke the devourer. See, there's someone there's an enemy that we have that's trying. No, it's not your teenager. I know you're like, devourer. I got one of those. Man, come home from groceries and half of them are gone that night. No, it's not the devourer. The devourer is the enemy. And He's trying to steal from you, kill and to destroy. But when you put your finances and everything you own under God's authority, then it's under his protection. And I can't tell you, how it all worked, but I can tell you over and over again through my life that when I was obedient and something would come up, somehow or another, God would provide. And I can't show you in a balance ledger, but here's what I can tell you. God's never failed me. God's never left me out on the streets begging bread. God's never left me without providing what I needed. Now, it didn't always come in my timing, because you know what? I'd like to have it up front. I don't know about y'all. I'd like for God to just drop some money on me, and then the need comes up, and I'm like, okay, well, I got that money. But that's not how it works a lot of times. But anyway, what I can tell you is it works. And the more that you obey God, all who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. You don't grow in wisdom from making bad decisions. You grow in wisdom from obedience. In Psalm 119, the author says, I'm wiser than the elders because I obey your commandments. That's how you exercise wisdom, and that's how you grow in wisdom. Wisdom is trusting God even when you can't see. Proverbs 28:26, those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. So I know you're like, well, what does that mean? Look, one of the biggest issues I see as a pastor is this. We have an epidemic of people choosing to live together before they get married. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The Bible says that's sin. And here's the deal. I hear all the reasons. Well, you know, you need to learn about each other first. You need to find out for sure if that's the person. No, you don't. You know what you need to do? You need to determine, is this the person God's chosen for me to marry? And if yes, then you marry him and you start a life together. Living together doesn't do anything. Matter of fact, the statistics will tell you that people who live together before they get married are exponentially more inclined to be divorced than people who didn't. Now, are there things you're not going to know before you get married? Sure. I had no idea when I got married that there was a right and a wrong way to put toilet paper on the little spoolie thing. I had no idea. I thought you just put it on there all willy-nilly and it would just, but I come to find out there's a right way over and there's a wrong way under. So that's just part of growing together and learning to love one another and discovering new things as you get married. That's part of the miracle and the beauty of marriage. And here's the deal. When you choose to, by insight, and it's, hey, it makes sense, why don't you, you know, check things out before you get married? But it doesn't work that way. That's going against God's wisdom. And when you go against God's wisdom, there are consequences. And you know what the consequences are? There's a much higher chance you're going to get hurt. And you're going to hurt somebody else. And here, did you check what it said? Anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. When God says don't, he's saying don't get hurt. Now, I want you to understand something. This ain't a message of guilt. I'm not trying to guilt you about what's happened in the past. I know some of you were in that situation, and now you're married, okay? And God's blessing on your marriage, commit it to him, and move forward from this day on. Some of you are in that situation now. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm going to talk to you about what to do about it in a little bit. But here's the deal. If you trust in your own insight over the Word of God, there's two things that happen. Number one, you don't know what you think you know. You think it makes sense, but trusting in your own insight is foolish. The second part of that is when you move out from under God's Word, you've also moved out from underneath His protection. Mm-hmm. Authority is protection. That's what authority is. That's our protection as parents. We have authority over our children. It's not so that, hey, well, you know, I'm telling them what to do. It's so we can protect them, so we can raise them up in the ways of the Lord. That's what authority is about. And guess what? The ones who are under authority don't always understand the reasons for some of the rules, do they? Some of us are like, yeah, I'm not going to talk to you about that right now, but there's a reason for it. I'm just giving you that rule because I love you. I'm trying to protect you. Okay, some of you explain, yeah, you can't go outside right now because it's thundering and lightning, and I don't want you struck by lightning. So some of them are easy, some of them aren't. But we need to learn how to trust those who are in authority over us, trust God's authority over us for our safety. And because that's wisdom, okay? So Second thing, I know people, well, you know, okay, there's some in things that are churchy, but that don't work in business. You don't, you know, you can't use that stuff in business. I'm like, okay, you know what the Bible says about that? Ecclesiastes 10:10. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. Doing things God's way helps you succeed. When you choose to do things outside the will of God, you might be chopping with all your work, all your worth, but you're chopping with a dull blade. The more you live under God's wisdom, the sharper your blade gets. Here's what it says. It helps you succeed. Now, it may not be in the timing you want. I mean, most of us want to, I don't know about you, but if I had a choice, I'd been an overnight success. Anybody else in here? I mean, I'm in for the overnight success thing. But the thing about it is, that's not how God works. That's not how he operates. The more you choose God's wisdom, the sharper your blade gets, and it leads to success. And it leads to success at the right time and in the right things and in the right way. That's wisdom. Learning to trust God's word above what culture says, above what our logic says, above what insight says, above what anybody else tells you. Choose God's word over all those things. Hey, do I get it? This is a tough time to be someone who's practicing God's wisdom. It's hard. It's harder now than it has been any time in the history of our country to follow the ways of God. So as your pastor, I'm going to give you, this is something I want you to think about, mull on it. Okay, I'm going to give you a little phrase. All right, you ready? So what? That's probably not what you're expecting. Here's the deal. God's wisdom always works. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust culture? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust what you think? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust what everybody else tells you how to succeed? Hey, if you want to succeed, man, you got to lie about this. You got to do that. You got to do that. Trust God's way. You want to know why? Here's why. Why do I say so what? That it's harder? Because here's the deal. When it comes to win-loss records, God is like 159 billion and oh. No losses. Not one time did God come to the children of Israel and said, sorry, I lost that battle for you guys. I mean, I meant to. Sorry about that. Not one time. Not one time does he come up to somebody and say, golly, Jonah, I really didn't mean for you to get swallowed in that well. I don't know what happened there, dude. That was crazy. Not one time did God ever come to somebody in the Bible and say, man, I was sure shocked that happened. Not one time. He's never lost a battle. He's never failed one of his children, and he never will. Why would you keep listening to people, including yourself? If I'm looking at my win-loss record, a little dicey. Sometimes, hey, maybe in this area pretty good. Maybe in this area not so much. Maybe in this one not good at all. But when I look at God's win-loss record, he's never lost. He's never failed. And he's never failed one of you either. So why wouldn't you want somebody with that kind of win-loss record? Choose wisdom. Choose to trust. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. Not crawling in a corner, curled up in a fetal position kind of fear. Fear is in awe and reverence. Like if you had a chance to meet Bear Bryant and talk to him about football. If you don't know who Bear Bryant is, and you're not really a football fan, and you need to fix that. Here's the deal. It's awe over the presence of someone that's never failed. And you get to talk to him. And you get his playbook right here. See, football season started. I'm all into the football analogies today. Now we're going to talk about foolish. Like throwing shovel passes on the 1 yard line on third down. I'm sorry, that was probably a little too personal. What is foolish? Foolishness means when we live according to the flesh, when we make decisions according to our flesh, and those are our desires, things that we want, our emotions. You know, maybe it's we act out of anger, maybe we act out of lust, maybe we act out of envy, greed, whatever those things are. It says in 1 Timothy 6:9, people who long to be rich fall into temptation. He doesn't say that being rich, it never says being rich is a sin. Loving money is a sin, and longing to be rich can bring out all kinds of temptations. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires. And what do those harmful desires do? Is it plunges them into ruin and destruction. When we follow the flesh, that's a foolish action, and it leads to consequences. Now, most of the time, we don't foresee the consequences. You know, we've all said something we didn't know we were joking, or we didn't know what the background was, and we hurt somebody's feelings, and because we didn't know. You know, we've tried something that, you know, I've tried a lot of things that I thought were going to work, and boom, they blew up, and I'm like, well, that didn't work. I bet y'all have too. That's can be a foolish decision, you know, and maybe it's because of something that I wanted, that I just convinced myself it was going to work out right, even though I knew I probably shouldn't. That's a foolish decision. That's a decision of the flesh. And then there's those decisions where we know that they're wrong, but we do them anyway. Not only does it cause consequences for us, it causes consequences to the people around us, and it leads to conflict. Titus 3:3, once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. It leads to conflict. You know, when what I want becomes the God of my life, what you want gets put to the side and sometimes trampled over to get to what I want. That's how lust and the flesh and foolish decisions work, okay? Now, there are also foolish decisions that you might not necessarily say is a sin, but it's still just not wise. Like, it's probably not a sin to go out and try to buy Blockbuster stock, but it's probably not a real wise move. And if you don't know what Blockbuster stock would be, then that just proves my point, okay? But some of y'all, if you know, you know. Some of y'all know. Y'all remember Blockbuster? Y'all remember when Blockbuster was the biggest honking thing?
Yep.
I mean, every Friday, Saturday night, the place would just be packed with people waiting for them to just come put a movie. They were in big tapes called VHS. How many of y'all have ever watched movies? All right, well, anyway. And so you'd just be waiting for them to get one in and put it back up there. Dude, the stock went crazy. They put them up everywhere. And then what happened? The digital age came along. Now you can stream everything. You get to rent it. And now they're worthless. So you can still go try to buy that stock. I think I read somewhere there was one Blockbuster left in the country. I don't remember where it was. It had to have been a Yankee place. That's all I'm thinking. But anyway, it was up there. Sorry for that. If y'all were Yankees, I apologize. You live here now, so who cares? You're not a Yankee anymore. Don't be offended by that. Just let it go. All right. Then there's things that you might say, well, that doesn't say that's a sin, but it's still not wise. Here we go. Alcohol. What does the Bible say about that? Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. Y'all might want to make a little sign of that and put it up at your party tomorrow. Just saying. It's the Bible, y'all. Proverbs 20, verse 1. So, does it say it's a sin to take a drink? No. Does it say it's not wise? Over and over and over again. My challenge is still out there. For anybody that wants to come to me and say that alcohol has made them a better husband, made them a better wife, made them a better father, made them a better mother, made them a better follower of Jesus Christ, I'd love to hear that testimony. Have yet to hear one. I also have yet to hear, here's another one I'll put out there. I have yet to hear anybody that came into me and said, man, I tell you what, this happened, and if I hadn't been drinking alcohol, it would have been a real mess. I've never heard a story like that. If I hadn't been doing drugs, man, it would have been a total wreck. But what I do hear is, yeah, I wish I hadn't done that because I was drinking. So it leads to bad decisions. It's not wise. Is it a sin to take a drink? It doesn't say that in the Bible, but it does say it's not wise. So there's three different ways where foolish behavior and the things of the flesh can cause damage in our lives and cause damage to those that are around us. And so we have to make a choice. Are we going to live by that nature, by our sin nature? And that nature in us that wants to go, I want to take care of me. Now, am I saying that it's wrong to take a vacation or do something nice for you? No, I'm not saying that. But when you start living by, I'm gonna take care of my desires, what I want, that's the sin nature that's in us. Romans 8, 5 through 8 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Now, here's what I want to say to you, okay? When we get to heaven, you're not going to be called to account for every sin that you committed. Okay, you're not. But we are going to be called to account for the life that we lived as believers, for what we did that we shouldn't have done, for the ways, did we waste the gift of the Spirit in our life? Did we follow God? Did we work to please Him? Did we live a life that was honorable? The works that we did, the deeds of our lives are going to be judged for whether or not they're worthless or whether they matter. Did we live for things that matter, or did we live for things that didn't? Did we live according to our sinful nature, or did we live according to the Spirit? Now, nobody can do that perfectly. We all fail in that area. But we're going to be called to account. The Bible even says we're going to be called to account for every careless word we spoke. Is our speech pleasing to God? You know, that should be our aim. It says this in the Bible too, is to please God by the way that we live. And understand something. Heaven is going to be so amazingly awesome to experience. It is. And what a beautiful gift that we're not going to be called to account for our sins. But here's the thing. We are going to give an account for our life. And we ought to live that way. Titus, I read verse 3 to you earlier. I'm going to start in verse 4. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. See, that's the thing. Once you're in Christ, you've been given, all things are passed away. All things have become new. You've been given a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. Don't waste it. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of His grace, He declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. You know what? The Bible, nowhere in here does it say you earn your salvation. But what it does say is once you are saved, do something with it that's worthwhile. Do something with it. Now, here's the thing about foolish behavior, is if we continue in foolish behavior, it will eventually lead to evil behavior. That's how it works. How do I know that? Psalm 28:3, do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, those who speak friendly words to their neighbors while planning evil in their hearts. That's people, foolish people a lot of times are not really cognizant of the consequences. Or they don't think they're going to, you know, there aren't going to be consequences, and there are. You know, a foolish person is somebody that hurts you without meaning to. A foolish action sometimes of ours is when we do something and we didn't realize there was a consequence. Now, there comes a point where you know what the consequence is. And then there comes a point where you do things because you know what the consequence is, and that's what you want. You know your word is going to hurt. You know your action is going to hurt someone else, and that's what you want to happen. That's an evil action. And all of us are guilty of that at some point. We've all said something to wound someone else that we knew was going to wound them. That's an evil word. That's an evil action. Okay? Now, there are people that are evil all the time. This world, there are evil people in this world, period. There are. And all that stuff, but we're all God's children. We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation But you don't become his child until you begin a relationship with Jesus. You're not God's child until then. And there are people that are so far down that road that it seems like they do evil all the time. Now, most of them don't see themselves as evil. They don't. Some of them are even religious people. We're going to talk about that too. So here's how one of the ways you get to that place. Romans 1, 20 through 22. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. That's part of that. Part of that is, well, what about people who hadn't heard this or that? God, there ain't nobody on earth that has an excuse for saying they don't believe in God. You look around God's creation, if you want to think that that came because two rocks collided up in space and all that was created, dude, more power to you. You got a lot more faith than I do, because it takes a lot more faith to believe that that could have happened randomly by two rocks colliding than to believe that God created the earth. That takes a lot more faith than what I have. That life just came out of nothing, out of two inanimate objects running into each other. That's some faith right there, okay? They know his eternal power and divine nature. They've seen those things. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And that's what people do. When God's word or wisdom says, this is sin, don't do this. This is wrong. There are times when people say, you know what? I don't like that. I don't like that it says. Then there are things in the Bible, you know, guess what? There's things in here that make me really uncomfortable. There's things in the Old Testament that make me uncomfortable. There's things in the New Testament that make me uncomfortable. And so you have a choice. Here's what it says. They began to make up in their own minds what God was like. There are churches in this country that are filled with people that are not worshiping the God of the Bible. They're worshiping a God they've created in their mind. And let me tell you what that is. It's an idol. It's an idol. Because when you say, here's one of the phrases of, well, I just can't believe in a God that would blank. I just can't believe God would blank. Well, guess what? It ain't determined about whether you believe it or not or what you think. God is God. Are there things that happen in the Old Testament that I'm like, man, that seems harsh? Yeah. But here's the ultimate truth I come to, is if God said to do it, it was righteous. How do I know that? Because God's righteous and because he's just. I don't look at God's actions and then decide whether God's righteous and just. I know he's righteous and just. His word tells me so. Amen. And so his actions are whether I understand them or not. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. But here's what happens. People don't like that. Well, I just can't believe that God would, you know, send somebody to hell. Do you know what God did? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. I have three kids. And I love y'all, but if your all y'all's survival was dependent on me sacrificing one of my kids, all I can say is I hope you're ready to meet Jesus. Because I love my kids and I wouldn't sacrifice them for anybody. And you wouldn't either. And yet God loved you enough and everybody out there, even the people that hate him, he loved them enough that he sacrificed his son so that they would not have to pay the penalty for their own sin. So you don't get to say the, well, I can't believe God would send somebody to hell. Hey, anybody that goes to hell goes because they chose to reject God and to reject Jesus. That's why you go to hell. Because you don't have to. Now, are there times in the Old Testament, there's a passage where he says, hey, wipe everybody out. And I'm like, golly. But then you find in other places where God gave them hundreds of years to repent and they wouldn't. God gave them hundreds of years of opportunities to change and they wouldn't. And so when God said to do that, guess what? He's righteous and he's just. I'm not. I can't make that call. But God's righteous. And when you try to, well, but I can't believe, you know, look at these, this marriage. And I mean, yeah, I know it's outside of what God says, but they love each other. That doesn't overrule God's word. Well, but it's going to be different with us. I mean, we pray. Yeah, we're living outside of God's will, but you look, here's the deal. There ain't no magic holy water that you can just throw something spiritual over on a sin and make it not be a sin. But you find lots of believers that try to make that happen. Well, I know it's wrong, but we talk about God. Guess what? So do the demons. Who cares? That's in the Bible too. I didn't just make that up. That's the truth. You don't get to say, hey, well, I'm going to spiritualize sin and make it okay. That's thinking up foolish ideas what God's like. And here's the consequence to that. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. I'm telling you right now, that is a picture of this country. Now, I know there's lots of believers in this country, but that's a picture of this country. The minds of this country, the people in this country are dark and confused. They call right wrong and wrong right every single day. It happens from the highest office of the land all the way to our school systems, and I'm talking about our college systems. It happens in Hollywood. All over the place you see people calling wrong right and right wrong. It's evil. Their minds became dark and confused, claiming to, and here's the deal, they're always acting like people who believe God's word are idiots. Let them. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. That's what happens when you live by the flesh and you live by the things of the flesh and you decide to make up in your mind what God is rather than seeing what the Bible says he is. See, here's the deal about the fear of God. It's not a crawled up in the corner, but it is respect, reverence, and awe at his authority and the fact that he's God. Now, there is nothing wrong with sometimes going, I ain't doing that, man. Because Bible also says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. I used to hear things, well, man, there's people that talk about hell, and they're just scaring people into heaven. I'd go, so what? I don't care if that, because guess what? It's real. You reject Jesus, you're going to hell. And I guarantee you, there ain't going to be nobody in heaven go up and say, man, I sure wish they hadn't scared me into heaven. Because they'd rather be in hell? Is that what you're saying? I don't care how you got there. Hey, I was scared to death of hell when I was a kid. I remember hearing about it, man, and they would... I didn't know you could have a sermon without there being yelling until I was like 30-something years old. I thought yelling and preaching were kind of the same thing. I'm going to hold my voice down a little bit because I think I've been like yelling. I thought those were the same thing. And dude, they'd be hollering about hell. And I'd be like, I do not want to go there. It's one of the reasons I got saved. I'm fine with it. So here's the deal. They became fools. Now, what happens next? Here's where foolishness moves to evil. We're going to move down just six verses to verse 28 in Romans 1. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, guess what? He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. Now, before we start going, yeah, I know them, I know who they are. If you didn't get hit by one of those in there, then you weren't listening real carefully. Because this is a list of evil actions. And there's some of them we're like, okay, murder, yeah, that's evil. Quarreling. You had a quarrel with anybody lately? Deception. Gossip. There's things in there that by my list of things that are really bad, which are things I don't do, and things that are not that bad, things that I do, I'm in some of those. Y'all all got a list like that. I know it. I mean, it's easy to get outraged over sins you're not tempted by and you don't do. But guess what? Some of mine are on that list too. There's things I struggle with in there, and there's things you struggle with too. So this, the point of this is not to be pointing a finger at that bunch of people. It's to look and say, what evil am I allowing in my life?
Amen.
They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. That's the thing that ought to grieve us the most about our own sin, is that we know that that sin put Jesus on the cross. That should grieve us. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Now we're going to get to that when we talk about how to deal with evil people. But first of all, I want to say, understand something. You might feel like you're justified. Yeah, but they hurt me. Or they've done this. That's not an excuse for doing evil. It's just not. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, hey, these things are evil unless they deserve it. Because you want to know what? We all deserve it. Be careful. That ain't fair. Do you want God to treat you fairly? I don't. I don't want God to treat me that way. I want him to treat me with grace and mercy. I want him to forgive my sins and take them as far away from him as the east is from the west. I don't want him to give me what I deserve. I want to be treated with mercy. And so here's the deal. Evil is not an excuse because of the actions of others. It's still evil. We got to learn how to forgive. Now, that doesn't mean that everything goes back to the way it was if somebody's hurt you. It doesn't mean, you know, the thing about relationships is relationships you get to choose. You get to choose who your friends are. You may not get to choose who your family are, but you get to choose what the boundaries are. And there's certain things where there ought to be boundaries. And there's certain things where a friendship should be ended. We're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. But that does not mean that we don't forgive. We still are commanded to forgive. No matter what's been done to us. That's a command of God. And the reason we're commanded to do that is because we've been forgiven. See, when we've been forgiven things that should have earned us death and hell, we don't get to hold people to account and punish them for their sins. That's God's job. Our call is to forgive. Look, I get it. There's some lines in here that feel a little blurry sometimes, but they're really not. You know, I've been accused over the years of seeing everything in black and white. Guilty. I do. I see nearly everything in black and white. And here's the deal. Sometimes things look gray, and it's because you ain't looked at them close enough. When you look at them a little closer, you'll see there's black, there's white, there's black, there's white. I really do believe there's black and white. There's right and wrong. Now, everybody, well, what about? Everybody's got a what about for me. I got you. Bring them on. But ultimately, we have to keep seeking God and determine where the right and the wrong is. And paying somebody back for something is always wrong. It's clear. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, there's defending yourself, which is another deal altogether. But vengeance does not belong to us. And when you take vengeance, you're taking something you don't have the right to take. That's God's. It may feel good for a little while, but in the end, it's going to damage you. That's one of the reasons why God says don't do it. Because in the end, it's going to cause you more pain than the person you took vengeance on. I know somebody like, I promise you it will. You keep going down that path and someday you'll be able to come back and tell me I was right. And I never get tired of hearing that. Just kidding. No, I really don't. I don't get tired of hearing that. And I bet you don't either. Husbands, y'all know. We don't hear it. See, now, there we go. I just threw a bomb out there and left it right when I was ending the sermon. Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. I proved that today. So there we go. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Forgive me, y'all. Anyhow, so let's move on. The last thing I want to tell you is this. You might be caught up in one of those deals where you're living in a foolish decision. So what do I do? I mean, it's really simple. Repent. Just repent. Repent doesn't mean that you go tell people how bad your decision is and I want everybody to know how sorry I am that I did that or I'm doing that or whatever. That's not repentance. You know what repentance is? It's simple. Turn away from it. If you're living in a foolish, well, but you don't know. I don't care what I don't know. I don't care if it's complicated. The more you get into foolish decisions, the more complicated it is to get out of them. But you know what the right thing to do is to get out of them? It's to turn away from it. It's to stop doing it. So you can't do anything about what you've done up to this point, but you can doggone sure do something different right now. If you leave here and go, well, you know, you don't understand. It's different for us. And oh, I can't do that. You know, it's complicated, blah, blah, blah. All you're telling me is that you're not willing to turn away from it. So just know that that's what your decision is. So you either repent of it and you stop doing it, or you continue on in it. That's your two choices. The Bible says repent. And understand that the farther you get in, the harder it's going to be to get out of it, and the more it's going to hurt in the end too. So you have to choose. Repent or continue on. The last thing I want to tell you is, we do this every service. The first part about repentance is turning to Jesus if you don't know him. It's turning away from your way of doing things and turning to Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we want you to have the opportunity to have one today. We want you to know that your sins are forgiven. We want you to know that you're going to be in heaven with him for all eternity. We want you to know that you're right with God right now. And that doesn't come by doing good stuff. It doesn't come by coming to church. It comes through having a relationship with Jesus. If you don't have one and you'd like to, I'd like to lead you in a brief prayer of salvation today. And there's three elements. Number one, you got to admit that you're a sinner and ask forgiveness of your sins. Number two, you got to believe that Jesus is God's son, that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose on the third day according to scripture. And then the third thing is you got to confess him as Lord. And that comes down to the living under wisdom, under his way, instead of your own. That's what it comes down to. And so if you'd like to know your sins are forgiven, you'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus, you pray this prayer with me right now. I'm going to pray in short lines. You can repeat it after me, or you can pray it in your own words. But pray it with me right now. Dear God in heaven, thank you for loving me and thank you for Jesus. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and my life. Cleanse me. I believe Jesus is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe he rose on the third day according to scripture. So today, I trust Jesus as my Savior and I confess him as my Lord. Now, if you prayed that prayer today without anybody else looking around, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to look up at me and keep looking till I see you. Just keep looking at me till I see you, okay? All right? Okay? All right? Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do, because it's important that you tell someone. There's a number on the screen. You can just text, "I did it," to that number. Or you can open up the camera on your phone and scan that QR code, which is also in your bulletin, and it'll give you the opportunity to just type in, "I did it" there. We'd love to hear from you. And what we'll do is we'll get in touch with you, and ask you about if there's a time we could talk to you in person or talk to you over the phone and answer any questions you have about your decision, and then talk to you about the next steps of following Jesus. We don't want anything from you. We're not going to add you to a list. We really just want to help you in your journey with Christ. There'll be people around after the service. If you'd rather talk to somebody in person today, you can do that as well. But make sure you tell someone. So right now, I want to pray for those that made the commitment to follow Jesus and for those that God would give all of us wisdom and strength to follow his ways. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Father, we just pray that you would guide us in ways of wisdom. Father, I thank you for those that made a decision today to trust you. Pray, Lord, that you would bring Christians into their life that will encourage them. Father, help us as a church to guide them in the right paths, follow you. Lord, we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. You can find links to topics and scriptures discussed in this episode by looking at the show notes. You can find more information online at greenwood.church. If you have any questions or comments, please send an email to info@greenwoodbc.com.